Good evening and welcome. My name is Scott Minkoff. I'm a professor of political science at SUNY New Paltz and the incoming director of the Benjamin Center for Public Policy. I'm pleased to be moderating tonight's forum for the Ulster County Legislature, District 19 primary candidates, Mana Jo Green, Lindsay Grossman, and Cheryl Schneider, all of whom have officially qualified for the ballot. Tonight's forum was organized by the Rosendale Marbletown Democratic Committees. Both committees welcome community participation in their meetings and activities. I invite committee members to stand now so that attendees know who to approach if they have questions after the forum. This forum is an opportunity to hear where each candidate stands on key issues facing the county and district. County Legislative District 19 includes all of Rosendale and part of Marbletown, including the hamlets of Bloomington, Cottekill, Tilson, High Falls, and part of Stone Ridge. Primary election day is Tuesday, June 24th, and early voting begins on June 14th. Primary voting is open to all Democratic voters. Any voter can look up their party registration, district, and polling location at voteulster.com. The candidates were given details about the forum in advance. For everyone else, here's how tonight will work. Each candidate will begin with a 3-minute opening statement. We will then proceed to a question round. Questions were submitted in advance by community members through an online form. I have synthesized and selected the questions to reflect the range of topics and concerns expressed. The selection was made by me alone. Neither of the committees nor any other person played a role. For those who submitted, please note that I did not consider questions that were directed at a single candidate. For each question, candidates will have 2 minutes to respond. We will rotate the order in which the candidates answer. After all three have responded, each candidate may offer a single 30-second rebuttal if they choose. Candidates can signal me if they wish to offer a rebuttal, and I will call on them at the appropriate time. There will be no questions taken from the audience during the forum. However, we encourage you to stay after the event for informal conversations with the candidates. I assume that's going to take place over there, or just everyone. Time limits will be strictly enforced. Candidates should be mindful of their allotted time, as indicated by the timekeepers and myself, and should refrain from speaking when it's not their turn. There will be no closing statements, and the forum will end by 8:30. Finally, we ask everyone in the audience to help maintain a respectful environment by refraining from cheering, applauding, or engaging in any disruptive behavior. Our goal tonight is to foster an informative and civil exchange. With that, let's begin with opening statements. We're going to proceed with opening statements in alphabetical order, and then I've randomly selected an order for us to deal with questions after that. That means, Ms. Green, you're up first.
Okay. At the podium or here?
Here. At your desk.
At my desk.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I am Mana Jo Green, and I am currently the legislator for District 19 and have been for 11 and a half years, running mostly unopposed. So this is a new experience for all of us. And I got my start as an activist in the civil rights movement. When I was 18, I was the secretary of Bridgeport CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, and I brought Dr. King to Bridgeport, and from then on, we were a force to be reckoned with. And then I was there when the Civil Rights Bill was passed, et cetera, and then a few years later, I had my children. I put myself through nursing school at SUNY Ulster, which was Ulster County Community College, and became a critical care nurse. And then I became the recycling coordinator for the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency for 10 years. And we brought, by working together collaboratively with all the municipal leaders, the haulers, all the stakeholders, we brought our recycling rate from 4% to 40% in a decade. And then I had the privilege of working for Hudson River Sloop Clearwater for 23 years. At that time, I retired. At that time, we got EPA to clean up the, to get General Electric to clean up the Hudson River PCBs. And then a year or so ago, I retired from Clearwater to work on the projects I'm working on in the legislature, primarily climate change. So I'm looking for one more term to make sure that those projects come to fruition, and I ask your support.
Thank you. Ms. Grossman.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about what we can achieve together if you elect me as your legislator. We are in truly unprecedented times, locally and nationally. The things that make Ulster County special, our farmers, our small businesses, our open spaces, the artists we have in our community, they're all at risk. We need real solutions now. With over $50 million of our county's budget reliant on federal funding that most certainly is at risk, plus the $2.4 billion in the form of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, we are already facing much harsher challenges than this county's been used to. This, while we're still struggling with the housing and affordability and crisis in the wake of COVID. I grew up in a family of small businesses where I learned the importance of hard work, perseverance, and giving back. I benefited from great public schools, and I went to college on a mix of loans and scholarships. I want people to have the same opportunities that I did today. The subject of my university honors thesis was about the local political participation of women in India. I studied and worked there, and then I went on to be active in DC with the National Women's Political Caucus. Now, after a 20-year career helping small businesses and helping different communities across tech, business, and policy, it feels truly full circle that I am myself now a local political candidate in the place that my husband and I have made our home. We need a new champion to fight for our community with new energy, leaning forward, not back. Someone who understands how interconnected these issues are that we face. Someone with empathy who will really listen. If elected, I will work hard to advocate for affordable housing for both homeowners and renters. I will advance local economic development. I will protect our environment and ensure access to quality, affordable social services, public health, and public transportation. Across my career, I've built products that help small businesses, families, and consumers save money and avoid predatory banking fees. I've led HIV and STI testing in Black and Latino communities. I have had both professional and volunteer experience advocating for women's health and reproductive rights. And since putting down roots here, I've had the joy of building strong connections in the community, whether it was the High Falls Pet Show, registering voters, picking up trash with the High Falls Conservancy and Riverkeeper, and traveling to Albany to advocate for recycling infrastructure and plastics reduction. I am proud to be the only candidate here tonight who is endorsed by the Ulster County Democratic Committee, and that was people decided here locally. I am also the only candidate to be endorsed by Run for Something, Eleanor's Legacy, and I have 100% rating from Planned Parenthood. We have a chance to do locally what we have failed to do nationally, and that is to elect new energy with people who are going to represent us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grossman. Ms. Schneider, you're up next.
Hello. First, I want to thank both the Rosendale Democratic Committee and the Marbletown Democratic Committee, because this takes a lot of effort to pull off something like this. So thank you very much for this opportunity so we can share. And for the first time in many, many years, actually have a dialogue about what's going on locally in our communities and who might be the best person to move forward in this critical moment. My name is Cheryl Schneider. I'm on the ballot for Ulster County Legislature also. And while I am new to the campaign trail, I am no stranger to public engagement or the legislative process, either locally, on the county level, or the state level. I've been engaged for years and years and years. While I've worked with Ulster County legislators and community members to advocate for environmental stewardship, affordable housing, living wages, and expanded public transit, I'm not just saying this is my platform, this is what I've been doing, because I am my platform. We are my platform. I played a significant role in the grassroots effort to establish free county bus service. I am currently advocating for reduced speed limits and traffic safety enhancements on Main Street in Rosendale and Route 32. I will serve as an independent and progressive voice for all the people of our district, not just the Democratic Party and not just party insiders. I've earned a place on the ballot with the support of neighbors from across our district, people who haven't been spoken to or with, to be listened to in decades. In decades. I believe in providing for people and planet first, and profits and special interests just have to wait, especially in the climate we're in, as Lindsay explained. We need to invest our tax dollars to serve our common good, and that's clean water and air for everyone, healthy local food for everyone, affordable housing for everyone, real living wages, not naming a bill calling it a living wage. And we need more free public transit. We don't need to optimize, which means decrease, and peel off buses for other services. Our community is quite clear about the need for safer, multimodal roads, and all these essentials, along with expanded mental health services, will literally save lives and reduce our reliance on crisis intervention and extreme policing at the end. This shift will improve our quality of life and support safer, stronger communities. It will also prove to be less costly in the end, and I'm not speaking of just the financial costs. I'm talking about our cost of life on planet Earth. And I want to see a beautiful life. I don't know why we can't have heaven on Earth. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now proceed to a question round. I've randomly sorted the candidates. The order for this first round of questions will be Ms. Green, Ms. Schneider, and then Ms. Grossman, and then the following round it will be Ms. Schneider first, so on and so forth. I can keep track of it all, don't worry. So this first question is about housing affordability. According to the Oster County Housing Action Plan, nearly one-third of homeowners and more than half of renters live in unaffordable homes. Emergency housing costs rose from $3.8 million in 2020 to $13.3 million in 2024. What do you think of the actions the legislature has taken to date, and what specific legislative actions would you advocate for with respect to affordable housing moving forward? Ms. Green, you're up first.
Well, the first thing is that the legislature has created a housing affordability fund that will help to address this. Another important thing for affordable housing is that it be green, that it employ green building practices to keep the ongoing costs down for the residents. And the idea of a floating zone to promote access by developers to affordable housing. RUPCO's doing a great job, family of Woodstock is, but I think the biggest challenge is going to be from climate change and sea level rise and more people moving to this area, so we have to prepare.
Ms. Stein.
Housing for profit is unviable now for almost all of us on this planet. We can't keep doing the same things we're doing and throw crumbs at the solution. So when the county passed a local law to establish housing as a county purpose, they used the HUD definition and they left out extremely poor and very low income people. Extremely low income and very low income in an affordable housing definition. I advocated as an independent citizen to have that language changed, because if we're going to do affordable housing, we got to start at the bottom. If we don't lift from the bottom, we don't rise. So above that, the county has done some good things, I think we need to raise the bed tax again. We only went to 4%, we need to go to 8%, and half of that goes, 25% goes to public transit, 25% goes to housing, but that's the equivalent of a Republican trickle-down economics. We have to front-load housing and make it for real. We have to walk our talk until everyone is housed. Everyone.
Thank you. Ms. Grossman?
Housing is the number one priority on this campaign. It's related to every single other issue, whether that be economic development or how we help our farmers. We clearly have a supply problem. We need to build more housing across all income levels, especially lower and middle income. I think there are a couple ways to do this. First, I am excited about some of the progress that we've seen in the towns of Rosendale and the towns of Marbletown, and that's reducing the red tape to give every homeowner by right access to create an auxiliary dwelling unit. I think there's obviously an opportunity at the county level then to provide incentives, provided that that space is used for 12 months or longer leases or a family member, right? You can't go get funds if you're going to use it for an Airbnb. Number two, I really think that we need to be making more action on abandoned, decaying properties. Let's just close your eyes for a minute and think about Fans Plaza. Let's think about the old furniture store there that is empty and decaying. What if that was a space for, on the bottom, some small business owners, and then 1 to 2 stories above it had affordable housing? You know, there's places like iPark 87, which was a project when Pat Ryan was county exec. That's a huge opportunity to put more affordable housing and get businesses in there. It's taking too long. We have so many industrial properties that are sitting with parking lots. We have a huge opportunity to make movement, and that involves working with the private sector, by the way. And number three, we need smart financing. We need incentives to bridge the gap between what people can actually pay and the realities of the cost of home building. It costs money, especially with Trump tariffs, for home builders to be able to get the things that they need to build homes. And again, we need to be aware of the dynamics of the industry here. Number two, we need incentives for green retrofitting, incentives for local banks to be able to make these mortgages more achievable. And, you know, I think we have an opportunity to elect someone in this seat who's going to make housing a top priority, and that's what you're looking at right here.
Thank you. Does anybody wish to make a rebuttal on this one? So, with each question, you can signal me, and I'll allow you to rebut or offer additional comments. We could put it in that category. Both of you? Well, Ms. Green, you can go.
Okay. I want to mention one other thing that I'm working with Legislator Hewitt and Legislator Stewart to create tax relief for eligible low-income and senior homeowners. And I agree with much of what has been said. It is a very important priority, and I think we need to focus on it, especially given the...
Ms. Schneider, then Ms. Grossman, sorry.
I think it would be wonderful to develop Fans Plaza. What an idea! I don't think anyone's ever come up with that. We've had it. We know why we haven't developed Fans Plaza.
No comments from the audience. This is not.
We know why. It's if you've been here, if you've lived here, you don't have to like come up with ideas. You know.
Ms. Grossman.
There's one more thing I wanted to talk about. For example, at Marbletown, we have the community preservation tax. That is a one-time tax that enables people to benefit here in the community to be able for us, for example, to acquire the 80 acres with OSI to protect that land and provide affordable housing here in our community. So there are ways to make policy to create increased supply and also protect our open spaces.
Thank you. We're going to move on to our next question, which is about waste management. According to Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, Ulster County spends about $10 to $11 million annually shipping waste 240 to 250 miles to Seneca Meadows landfill, which currently faces an uncertain future. The county legislature has been discussing potential alternatives. What approach would you advocate for, and how does this fit with other environmental sustainability positions you have? First on this is Ms. Schneider, followed by Ms. Grossman.
I don't know why, if we've had all of these environmental advocates already in the legislature, that it goes for 30 years and we haven't like significantly reduced our waste. I don't know why we don't mandate that all large institutions do food recycling and recycle everything on site. I don't know why after COVID, after we loosened our single-use plastic and other container laws that we can go back now to, because we have all this black and single-use plastic that is not being recycled, regardless of the numbers that are on the bottoms of the containers. They're all going in the trash, even if you put them in the recycling. I don't know why we're letting this happen. If we demanded that everyone had compostables and we collected the compostables, then we would have a demand to put a compostable processing plant somewhere near us. That's number one. Number two is we're going to have to make some hard decisions, but putting dumps, which is 100-year-old technology, in places that are vulnerable to our environment, is not going to work. Nobody wants a dump in their backyard. We have to come up with new technologies and new ways of dealing with it, but reduction is key, and we just have to mandate it.
Ms. Grossman.
First off, on the environment, I want to acknowledge the lifetime of work that MANA has had on the environment. Folks, we know what we need to do here. We need to reduce waste. We need to divert things from the waste stream by putting food scraps into composting, making sure that we can reuse building materials when it makes sense. Number two, we need to reduce carbon emissions. Number three, we need to invest in renewable energy production and at greater rates. This also is a top priority for us here in the county. The county government is the single largest employer here, and it also has a large footprint in terms of property. We have an opportunity to make bigger swings on this. Number four, we need to make improvements to existing homes, as I mentioned before, incentives to make sure that they are energy efficient and that there's the right insulation approach to retrofitting. And then also, I am heartened by community solutions like repair cafes. They're both heartwarming, and they also get us into the habit of just living better every day. But I'm also, as your legislator, going to see environment as a through line. I'm not going to look at the environment as a single siloed issue. It's a thing that cuts through everything, affordable housing and economic development. And if you elect me, I think you're also going to get someone who's going to be able to keep pace with the technical innovations that are in green energy. We are so far gone in the warming of our climate. We need someone who can understand how the technology works and can keep pace with the private sector. The last thing that I'll say, I would for sure carry on the baton of, the great work MANA has done here, but there's probably one issue that MANA and I disagree on, and that's on the expansion of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. It doesn't make sense to me why we should be expanding a diesel-powered railroad through national wetlands where we have otters and bald eagles all the way to the Ashokan Reservoir. So that would be one thing I would be different on. But I want to say, because of my approach on the environment, that's why I'm proud to have the support of respected environmentalists, people like Samrat Patania and many others here in the room. Thank you.
Ms. Green.
Yes. This is one of my strongest areas because I spent 10 years at the UCRA, and I have attended their meetings regularly ever since. And what we need to do is maximize waste diversion, and one of the best, most recent initiatives is the Reuse Innovation Center, where all the towns collect things that can be repaired and reused and kept in the resource stream. But also, there will be a central location to send the things that do not move from the town spoke to a hub for repair and, in some cases, to deconstruct and recycle the materials. Maximum waste reduction, making sure that we remove the food waste and the compostables, because that's one source of odor. Another source of odor is sheetrock, and that can be recycled. There's a facility in Orange County that does sheetrock recycling. So if you reduce the odors and you reduce the amount significantly, then you can have a smaller landfill that is less onerous and lasts longer. And I have been helping the Resource Recovery Agency. I also wrote the composting law, but I used a very inclusive, collaborative process to create a law that works for everyone. And that law was implemented, but it was passed, but now it needs to be fully implemented, and I'm working with them and the chamber to ensure that happens. Thank you.
Ms. Schneider, signal me. Anybody else? Well, for now. Go ahead, Ms. Schneider.
I wanted to mention that expanding public renewables, building out public renewables, is something that I supported legislatively at the state level years ago. There doesn't seem to be a government will to do it, allegedly, but I think instead of spending our money the way we did with special interests, our ARPA money, if we had started to build some microgrids in our most vulnerable areas where people desperately need electricity the most, that would have been a way to go. I also think that, we need to move to new technologies. And I certainly understand them as well, having spent 35 years in tech and innovation. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to questions.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I just want to say that I thought this question was about solid waste, not about...
It was, for the record.
Not about rail versus trail. If there's a question about that, I'll be glad to participate.
Okay, let's move on to question three. This one's on public transportation and other services. The Ulster County Area Transit currently serves areas like Rosendale, but lacks coverage in many rural areas. Many rural residents also face challenges with inadequate internet access and other infrastructure needs. What legislative initiatives would you support to reduce these infrastructure gaps, particularly the transportation ones? And what role should the county legislature play in coordinating with municipalities to improve service delivery? First up on this one is Ms. Grossman.
So first off, it's pretty amazing that UCAT transportation is free. Once it became free a couple years ago, ridership went up by 40%, which is awesome. But unfortunately, it doesn't go to all the places where people are. For example, there is a proposal to get rid of the route between right here, the heart of Main Street and Rosendale, on taking 213 to the heart of High Falls, right at Mohonk and 213. The proposal would still have a route, thankfully, to get people to the community college, so that's not an issue. But it does concern me that, like, two of our most, important main streets would no longer have a direct route. And so I think that we all deserve to have a legislator who's going to be able to be in the weeds and the details on these things. This proposal was a few months ago. Actually, once I found out there was a survey, I started sharing that in the community. There was an ability to drag and drop and show where we actually need sidewalks. So in addition for people getting on and off the bus, being able to walk across the street from Ollie's to the vintage store and to the bookstore across the street. All these things are related to our strategy on transportation, and I really want to make sure that the legislature is paying attention to the great work that the county exec's office is doing, but it's a partnership, right? There's checks and balances, and we need legislators to be paying attention to transportation as well. I think the other thing that I want to say is, I don't know if you've ever tried to use the mobile app for UCAT, but it is completely ridiculous. It actually does not function. It is not possible to put into your origination address, like maybe use GPS, and then be able to put your destination address and then give you instructions like Google Maps or any other transportation app would do. That's unacceptable. We need to be holding that department to greater account, and if I have to go in and wireframe it myself with my tech background, I'd be happy to do it, but we need to get in there and do the work.
Ms. Schneider. Oh, sorry, Ms. Green is next. My apologies.
Okay, on transportation, I want to, first of all, commend the fact that we have free public transportation in Ulster County, and that's a very important initiative. And it has increased the ridership, and by increasing the ridership, we can also increase funding to the county based on that increased ridership. One of the things that is most needed is proper bus shelters. People are standing out in the cold, in the rain, in the snow, in the ice, unprotected, and waiting for a bus they're not quite sure when is going to come. Buses got to run on time, safely, and we need better shelters for people who are using this public transportation. It's a great system. The other thing I want to commend is the fleet. We have a green fleet, And we also will be having solar-based charging for buses and vehicles, county vehicles, that UCAT is taking care of. So all of those things are moving us in the right direction, but the riders need help.
Ms. Schneider.
I want to thank you all for recognizing how awesome our free bus system is. And I want to take a moment. I'm not really into bragging about stuff, but I will own of this panel, the free buses. It took four pieces of legislation. I want to point out Legislator Petit sitting in the audience, because without her, Legislator Erner, it took us four pieces of legislation, and we were in the weeds. You want to wireframe it? The worst thing we can do is have more bro-boy stuff. That's how we got to optimize the bus line, and we've cut out the lines, and now people have to go a half hour more to get to their same route, or 45 minutes, and we have less lines, and we have more weights. And yes, the bus shelters are important. We talked about that too. We worked on that. There was money funded, $125,000 for a study, $5,000 for a study. Okay, and we did the study, and what happened? It took a lot of legislation, and we just don't have a will to actually go further. The funding is called STOA, State Transportation Operations Act Assistance. And yes, we get reimbursed, partially reimbursed, for every rider mile. So if I get on the bus and I go 10 miles, that's a 10 rider mile, the state gives us money back. So we don't call it free. The county can't call it free. It's fare free because the county puts money in. But the end, what we did is we got rid of it. We had something like 12 different means testing tiers to get on a bus. All of that's gone. And I think New York City should make the subways free too and get rid of all of that crazy as well. End of story. We have a long way to go with transportation. Thank you.
Additional thoughts on that? No? Okay.